This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to episode 104 concerning the Ramadan course. Now, in this particular episode, inshallah ta'ala, we will discuss and talk about the essence and the importance of fasting itself. Now, there are a number of different perspectives we can deal with this topic. There are ways of mentioning how the fuqaha, how the jurisprudent scholars would deal with the matter. They would bring evidences from the Qur'an and then the sunnah and then the consensus, the agreement of the scholars and statements of the companions and the scholars after that to establish the ruling concerning fasting. But in this particular topic, we're not only going to delve into that in a very light way, but also speak about other aspects of fasting so that we get an understanding of the importance of Ramadan and fasting and how that should impact us as Muslims. Many occasions we find ourselves studying these matters and it becomes very much a theoretical knowledge. It becomes something which we are studying just for the sake of learning and not understanding how we can implement these issues in our lives. That we want to become true servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just individuals who learn pieces of information and then pass that on to others. No doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the obligation of fasting in the only place that we find fasting mentioned in the Qur'an. Subhanallah, in only one place in the entire Qur'an do we find the obligation of fasting mentioned, which is in chapter number 2 in Surah Al-Baqarah. The very famous verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Now even though this particular verse is very, very short, its meaning is very, very profound. And it links us, subhanallah, not only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it links us to previous nations. It links us to previous Muslims who also used to fast. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by addressing us as the believers, that fasting has been prescribed, has been made an obligation upon you, as it was made an obligation upon previous nations. So for example, Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salatu salam, all of these great and beautiful prophets who came before, these nations who came before, Allah tabaraka ta'ala obligated upon them fasting. So it is not something new. At the end of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is the secret. This is the key to understanding the fasting. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That we fast not for the sake of losing weight. We fast not for the sake of keeping our money and not spending as much money, but to have taqwa. And taqwa can of course be translated in a number of different ways. There isn't one word in the English language that actually translates equally to the word taqwa. Rather, we need a number of words like God consciousness, that there is a fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is an awareness. And when we bring all these words together, it somewhere brings us close to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us in gaining taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many places in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person questions and asks, how do I gain taqwa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the answer in another verse, that if you fast and you fast correctly, then inshallah ta'ala this will be a path for you having taqwa, God consciousness, a fear and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That before you make a statement, before you say anything, before you make a step, before you interact with anybody, you have an awareness and you think about, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with me? Is this a rewardable act? Is this an act that may take me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or bring me close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the kind of feeling. This is what taqwa should and how it should impact a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another important aspect of fasting is understanding the fiqh, is understanding what is permissible for me and what is not permissible for me as a fasting person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the sound hadith, that a person who does not avoid and stay away from foul speech, cursing and swearing, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need for that person to stay away from their food and their drink. So when we fast, it's not just an exercise of staying away from food and drink, but it is an exercise of training ourselves of how to speak properly and how to behave properly. That fasting is also fasting of the tongue, fasting of the eyes, and fasting of the ears, fasting of the hands. Your entire essence, your whole body is fasting. And it's not just for you to, at the time of suhoor, just before Salat al-Fajr, that you eat as much as you can, and then you sleep for the whole day, and then you wake up just before Salat al-Maghrib, and then you say to yourself, I have fasted. Can we say that this person who has fasted in this manner is like the individual who woke up intentionally before Fajr came, had suhoor, remembering that the Prophet ﷺ said, tasahharu, that you should have suhoor, for inna fiha barakah, that there is indeed in suhoor, that there is a blessing. This person who intentionally takes this position, prays Fajr, and then goes about their business in the day, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering, brothers and sisters, that fasting isn't just staying away from food and drink, but it is an exercise. Ramadan is a madrasa. It is a school for us to go through, for us to remind ourselves what is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How close are we to Allah jalla wa ala? In the month of Ramadan, there are the five pillars. The first one, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Then there is the establishment of the salah in so many different forms, not the only the obligations, but the introduction of Taraweeh and Qiyamul Layl. There is Zakah and Zakatul Fitr, which is, of course, slightly different from zakah, but as a reminder for us to give zakah, which is paid right at the end of Ramadan. And then there is the implementation of the fourth pillar, which is as-siyam, which is fasting itself. And fifthly, hajj. How does hajj fit into Ramadan? We know that the Prophet ﷺ told us that whoever performs an umrah in Ramadan, ta'dilu hajjah, that is equal in reward to performing hajj. So the month of Ramadan is a reminder for us all of all five pillars in Al-Islam. The Prophet ﷺ was the most generous of people, the kindest of people. That when the Prophet ﷺ would fast in the month of Ramadan, this would impact him in that he would become more generous and he would share more. And this is something that the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that they would notice. In any of the issues which became difficult for them to understand, they would go to the Prophet ﷺ, especially when it is something to do with their own ibadah, something to do with their worship. So for example, in matters of purification, they would ask the Messenger ﷺ, is this halal for me? Am I allowed to make wudu with seawater, for example, on one occasion? And then the Prophet ﷺ gave them permission to do that. So the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they would not hold back. They would not be fearful of asking the Prophet ﷺ about matters of their religion. And this is something that similarly we should not be shy of, something that we should avoid. If there are matters that are involved in our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do as Allah jalla wa ala tells us, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that you go to the people of knowledge if you do not know. So whether it is regarding your purification, what is regarding your salah, or zakah, or fasting, or hajj, or any matter of your ibadah, that you go to the people of knowledge and you ask. And if you have an opportunity to learn a subject from its roots, from the foundations, that you want to educate yourself, then this is what is required of you. We are not people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require us to be people or always depending on other people. That we remain at a certain level of knowledge and that we are required to then go to the people of knowledge like this. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn, wants us to educate ourselves. The practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam similarly would educate the companions, and the companions would then take that knowledge, and when they've understood it, they would then pass it on to their families and the generations who came after them. This is one of the biggest goals of knowledge. It's not only just to bring in that knowledge, but it's to become part of you, that it changes you. And fasting is one of the greatest acts of ibadah, which can have that impact on you, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Remembering that there are many acts of ibadah, many acts of worship, which there is a specific reward for that. So praying a salatul jama'ah is better than praying alone 25 or 27 times, depending on the different narrations that I mentioned concerning that. So the reward is specifically mentioned. However, we know that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the great companion, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that Allah jalla wa ala said in the sacred hadith, hadithun Qudsi, that all the deeds of Ibn Adam are for him, except fasting. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a special reward for fasting. Something that we don't know, we cannot quantify the reward for fasting. This is what sets aside fasting. And this is what sets, one of the reasons, that sets the month of Ramadan out of all the other months. That we are doing a particular act of ibadah, that you don't know the reward that you're going to get. And this is, subhanAllah, one way that Allah Jalla wa'ala wants us to rely and trust on Him even more. Not necessarily that you're doing the maths, okay, and you're doing the accountability that if I do this action, for example, for every letter of the Qur'an, I get 10 hasanat, and you're doing the maths. You kind of know the reward, inshallah ta'ala, that you will get, if you're, of course, sincere. But fasting is something that you're blindfolded in. That you do the act of ibadah, and the reward is completely unknown to you. This is the beauty of fasting. Of course, we do know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that whoever fasts a day, fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ba'ada Allahu wajhahu 'anil nari 70 kharifa. That whoever fasts a day for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah jalla wa ala will distance that person's face away from the hellfire for 70 years. This is no doubt ajrun 'azim, a great reward. Now imagine a person who's fulfilling one of the pillars of al-Islam. One who is fasting, not just understanding that I stay away from food and drink, but understands the essence of fasting. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That every part of the day that they are going through, they remember that the purpose of fasting is for me to attain taqwa, not for me to lose weight or to save money. The purpose of me fasting is to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that fasting has a special reward that only Allah jalla wa ala knows that reward. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us all that there is a gate of Jannah. Jannah has many gates, many entrances. But there is one gate, Babur Rayyan, which is one of the names of the gates of Jannah, that only those who truly fasted correctly and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they will enter through. Remembering these virtues and blessings and graces from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you fast, these are the motivations for you. Remembering, it is not a physical exercise. The physical exercise is secondary to the spiritual exercise that you are going through. It is an opportunity for you to look at yourself and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The years can fly by from one to the next. Subhanallah, we remember last Ramadan, does it seem that long ago? It doesn't seem that much. A few months even, subhanallah. Here we are again, Ramadan is at the doorstep. Our lives are passing us by. Here is an opportunity Allah jalla wa ala places in front of us. Maybe we wouldn't make that for ourselves, but by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, He obligates this fasting upon us for 1 year, 1 month a year, for us to remind ourselves where we are with regards to our Lord. How we are worshipping Him, how sincere we are to Him, how much of a sacrifice I am willing to make, and how attached I am to the dunya. When Ramadan comes, it's not about filling your trolleys. It is not about how much you can hoard or you can stock. All of these things are secondary, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for you when you could eat and drink when you like. You were provided for 11 months. Now, it is assumed that you will eat even less. So why do you think that you need even more food and drink during this particular time? Maybe it is that you have misunderstood the secret, the key to fasting. And it is not just to prepare yourself and to save your body, but to nourish your soul. If you nourish your soul in turn, inshallah ta'ala, you will nourish your body. And this is as important, if not more important, to nourish your soul with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submission for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that comes after that is secondary. So my dear brothers and sisters, understanding this particular section of our ibadah, this relationship that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is of the utmost importance, knowing what is halal and what is haram. What will break my fast? What will not break my fast? The fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam sent to us in a sound hadith, that whoever mistakenly, unintentionally, forgetfully, eats or drinks something while they are fasting, this does not break your fast. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for that person. how important it is for us to know the rulings when we are fasting. If a person is unaware of these issues, then the person is possibly questioning themselves, is my fast valid? I said a bad word, or I did a particular action. Do I need to repeat my fast? Those sisters who are pregnant, what are the rulings concerning? Do I have to fast? Or if I'm breastfeeding my child, am I required to fast? Or do I just pay for a day? Or do I need to make up the days later on? These are very important issues for us to understand as Muslims, because they represent the fundamentals of our faith. It is a shame that many of us do not see the importance of these issues and maybe just rely on when the season for fasting comes, that I'll just make a phone call, I'll read a book, I'll listen to a lecture just to educate myself concerning that. But rather, as we mentioned, that Ramadan is that school that you will go through for a month, that inshallah ta'ala will have an impact on you for the next 11 months until Ramadan comes around again. Brothers and sisters, the importance of understanding this particular pillar of Islam, this blessed month of Ramadan, is of the utmost importance. It is, as the Prophet ﷺ informed us, that Islam is built upon five. Islam, our religion, built upon five foundations. And one of them is Siyam, is fasting the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us ilmun nafi', to give us beneficial knowledge, and to distance us away from khilafat, to distance ourselves from differences of opinion which do not affect us and which may cause harm to us, to distance us away from knowledges which do not cause us any benefit at all, which may lead us into haram. Allahumma ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, until we have our next lesson. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.